A reading from the book of Exodus. I will count you a kingdom of priests, a consecrated nation. From Rephidim, the Israelites set out again, and when they reached the wilderness of Sinai, there in the wilderness, they pitched their camp. There, facing the mountain, Israel pitched camp. Moses then went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Say this to the house of Jacob. Declare this to the sons of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did with the Egyptians, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. From this, you know that now, if you obey my voice and hold fast to my covenant, you of all the nations shall be my very own, for all the earth is mine. I will count you a kingdom of priests, a consecrated nation." This is the word of the Lord.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing for joy. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. Know that he, the Lord, is God. He made us, we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. Indeed, how good is the Lord, eternal his merciful love. His is faithful from age to age. We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. We were still helpless when, at his appointed moment, Christ died for sinful men. It is not easy to die even for a good man. Though, of course, for someone really worthy, a man might be prepared to die. But what proves that God loves us is that Christ died for us while we were sinners. Having died to make us righteous, it is likely he would now fail to save us from God's anger. When we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, we were still enemies. Now that we have been reconciled, surely we may count on being saved by the life of his Son. Not merely because we have been reconciled, but because we are filled with joyful trust in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have already gained our reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he felt sorry for them, because they were harassed and dejected, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to them, "The Lord of the harvest," said to his disciples, "the harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers to his harvest." He summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, with power to cast them out and to cure all kinds of diseases and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Theudas, Simon who was the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who was to betray him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them as follows: "Do not turn your steps to pagan territory, and do not enter any Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, proclaim that the kingdom of God is close at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out devils. You received without charge, give no charge." The Gospel of the Lord.
Healing is big business today. Hospitals have got bigger and better, at least when they're actually working, equipped with all the latest technology that science can invent and money can buy. New drugs, new treatments, and new approaches are being pioneered all the time. But these breakthroughs not only take time and energy to achieve, the buildings, the medicines, and the research are all expensive. So state-run medical services find it ever more difficult to fund the treatments needed, and national health waiting lists seem to grow ever longer, even apart from the consequences of the pandemic and of recent and ongoing strikes. Morale suffers, and medical practitioners burn out or turn to other professions, frustrated by the limitations placed upon them when the resources are not adequate to meet medical needs. Patients often feel reduced to ciphers, cases, whose needs may or may not be met, rather than individuals. By contrast, our Lord Jesus draws an essential connection between his preaching of the kingdom and the healing of the whole person. The context for his sending out of the disciples in this morning's gospel is his distress at the state of the crowds who have gathered around him with many different needs. He felt sorry for them because they were harassed and dejected. This might well be a fair description of many of today's occupants of a busy hospital ward. Jesus raises the question of the scarcity of laborers to work at healing their ills. And in response, he calls the disciples together and gives them a special commission. He gave them authority over unclean spirits with power to cast them out and to cure all kinds of diseases and sickness. To begin with, he doesn't send them out to the world at large, but rather to their own compatriots, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They are to go to those to whom the promises of the Old Testament were made, promises which included that of the Father who would bear them up on eagle's wings, watch over them, guard them forever, and count them a kingdom of priests, a consecrated nation. For us, faced with the problems of daily life today, such phrases from our first reading from the book of Exodus may seem rather detached, even perhaps a little ethereal. But what we find our Lord asking of his disciples is actually more down to earth. In order to preach the kingdom, they must first of all offer healing, whether of evil spirits or of other spiritual and physical ailments which are afflicting all those they meet. To preach the kingdom is to offer healing of the whole person, something much more than merely physical healing, and something which perhaps we all need, even if we don't have physical ailments. And the power to do this can only come from our Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises. The church has always been involved with physical as well as with spiritual healing. Medieval monasteries began the care later taken up by the great nursing orders, which were the forerunners of today's medical services. Since the state and private business interests have taken over the provision of physical care, the church's role has become even more directed, however, towards the inner person, through visiting and chaplaincy work, if we're really allowed by the powers to be to get stuck in and do what we want and need to do in that respect. For despite some forays into alternative medicine, the dominant model of healing in the Western world continues to treat us more or less as sort of biological machines. And disappointment with the depersonalization in many areas of medicine and with the apparent split between the physical and spiritual care has led to a high profile for all sorts of alternatives and sometimes perhaps rather dubious therapies. Homeopathy, acupuncture, shiatsu, reflexology, and other attempts to combine the two aspects, spiritual and physical, of our needs for healing. This search for elements not provided by common medical practice may well stem from people feeling that the whole person isn't being addressed, even though we know that body, mind, and spirit interact all the time and need to be regarded as one. So society is failing to bring people the fullest healing available to them. How to remedy this? Firstly, of course, by lobbying those who have the power to reassess and change the systems within our society, but also by ensuring that we personally treat our fellow men as whole people, precious in their totality, not just in regard to those bits of them that we can cope with. Our Lord himself didn't live in easy agreement with contemporary society of his time, but was always working for change, though for change at God's pace. He didn't advocate violence, but nor did he regard any established situations as being altogether hopeless and unchangeable. Rather, he was altogether taken up with the many different possibilities within God's power and set out by him. That the harvest is rich is a most encouraging statement for us to hear in our gospel reading. Every harassed and disheartened person who has lost the sense of direction and meaning in life can be cured by God's grace, wherever the bearer of this message is accepted and welcomed. The new power exercised by our Lord Jesus among a harassed and dejected people is God's harvest, manifested not as condemning judgment, but as a sign of his intervention. The disciples and the church, and that, of course, means you and me too, are to share in the breaking through of the kingdom into the world. God calls his messengers, chooses those to be used as his instruments, as we heard in this morning's gospel, and those who in all that they do remain the source of every blessing. The 12 appointed by our Lord are the ones in and through whom he is to continue his earthly work. Their power is given by him and is a new offer of salvation through the gift of wholeness and healing. And today, we are commissioned to bring Christ's wholeness to all people everywhere, whoever they may be, as true disciples, bringing the kingdom to all those we meet, and especially to those we see harassed and dejected, like sheep without a shepherd.